أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Just four. Lesson number 47, Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 92-109. لن تنالوا البر. Never will you attain the good reward. حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. Until you spend in the way of Allah from that which you love. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ And whatever you spend, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ Indeed, Allah is knowing of it. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ You are never, ever going to reach piety. You will never become righteous. You can never prove your righteousness. You can never attain the reward of righteousness. Until when? Hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, until you spend, not just spend anything, but you spend that which you love. When you spend that which you love, you prove your iman, then you attain goodness, and then you receive the reward for righteousness. Lan tanalu. Tanalu is from the root letters noon, ya, lam, from the word nail, and nail is to reach or to attain something. So لَن تَنَالُوا meaning never can you attain. Never can you reach. Never can you find. What? Albir. The word bir, as you know, it means righteousness, goodness. It is used for a good deed. And basically the word bir is from the root letters ba, ra, ra, and the word bar is also from the same root. Bar is used for land, which is the opposite of bahr. Bahr is the sea, the ocean, and bar is land. And land has many types of animals, many types of soils, many types of surfaces, many types of plants. So basically, it gives the meaning of spaciousness, vastness, as well as variety, variation. So bir, righteousness, when is a person righteous? When he only does one good deed? When he only does a good deed once? No. Righteousness is that a person does different types of good deeds. Not just once, but again and again. Vastness as well as variation. That is what bir is, righteousness. And the word bir is also used for al-khayrul kathir. It is used for abundant good. And the word bir is also used for a good deed that is not ordinary, meaning it is used for a big good deed, a great good deed, a major good deed. So لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ You can never attain al-bir. What does it mean by this? You can never attain al-bir. Al-bir over here has been understood as, first of all, Jannah, paradise. Why? Because إِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ Because indeed righteousness, where does it lead to? Paradise. What is the purpose? What is the reason behind being righteous, behind being obedient to Allah? Why? So that a person can attain the good reward that Allah has in store for the righteous servant. So لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ What it means is that you can never attain Jannah, meaning you can never reach Jannah. Others have said that al-bir over here means good deed. Which good deed? Any good deed, whether it is ta'a, obedience, or taqwa, God consciousness, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ You can never attain the reward of bir, and you can never truly obey. You can never be truly obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can never prove your righteousness. Hatta tunfiqu until you spend mimma tuhibbun of that which you love. So over here a condition has been placed. A condition has been set. For what? For righteousness. When does a person become righteous? When does a person reach the level of bir? When does a person get the reward of bir? when he spends that which he loves. And tunfiqu, until you spend. Tunfiqu, what does it mean by this? You spend. Spend on who? Spend on what? Spend on who and spend on what? In obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, spending in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes spending on family, spending on relatives, spending on the needy, on the traveler, spending in the way of Allah. All of that is included in it. So hatta tunfiqu, until you spend. But what should you spend? Just anything? No. Mimma tuhibbun. Min over here can be understood in two ways. First of all, min can give the meaning of tab'id. Tab'id from the word ba'd. What does ba'd mean? Ba'dan, some. So tab'id, some. So min tab'id gives a meaning of some of that which. Not all of it, but some of it. Part of it. Not everything, but some of it. Part of it. So mimma tuhibbun, what does it mean? That you spend some of that which you love. Not all of it, but some of that which you love. Others have said that min over here is bayaniya. What does it mean by bayaniya? That it is explanatory. So what it means is all of that which you love. Then what does it mean? Should we spend some of that which we love, or should we spend all of that which we love? In different situations, in different times, you will spend either some or you will spend all. Whatever the situation demands from you, you will spend that in order to reach the level of bir. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at the time of Ghazwa Tabuk, what did he do? He brought everything. And when he was asked, what have you left behind for your family? He said, Allah and His Messenger are enough. So he brought everything. Umar radiallahu anhu brought half of it. So whatever you spend, depending on the need, depending on the situation, as long as it is that which you love, then you will attain bir. And notice ma, mimma. Ma over here means whatever, that which. Because there are many things that we love, isn't it? There are many, many things that people love. Ma tuhibbun, that which you love. But the condition that has been set over here is that you have to spend that which you love. Not that which you like, but that which you love. We own many things, we possess many things. Some things we're okay with, some things we like, some things we love. But what's the condition over here? مَا تُحِبُّونَ, that which you love. And when a person spends that which he loves, it is more difficult for him. Correct? It's easy for us to give that which is extra, to give that which we don't need, to give that which we don't like. But when we spend that which we love, then what does that prove? It proves the truthfulness, the sincerity of the iman of the person. Which is why when he spends that which he loves, what happens? He reaches bir. He reaches the level of righteousness. Or he gets the reward for bir. But what's the condition? That you have to spend ma tuhibbun, that which you love. People love many, many things. Some people love money. Other people love their time. Other people love gold. Some people love their Facebook. Some people love their clothes. Some people love their car. Sometimes it is something monetary, and sometimes it is not something monetary. There are different things that a person loves. What's the condition that has been put over here? That it has to be that which you love. But generally, if you look at it, what is it that people love most? Across different cultures, across different ages, what is it that people love? Money, wealth. In Surah Al-Fajr, Ayah 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you love wealth with immense love. حُبًّا جَمَّا. Immense love. Similarly, in Surah Al-Adiyat, Ayah 8, we learn, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And indeed, he, meaning the human being, in love of wealth, is intense. Meaning the human being is very intense in his love for wealth. Early in Surah Ali Imran, we learned, زُيَّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ قناطير المقنطرة. Not just a little bit of gold and silver, but قناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة. And والخيل, خيل is also money. Which خيل? خيل المسومة. والأنعام والحرث. All of these things are what? Different types of money. Assets. So people generally love money. And that is what is being said over here. That you cannot attain bid, you cannot attain the reward for bid until and unless you spend that which you love. And what is it that people love most? Their money, the things that they own. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And whatever you spend of anything, meaning anything that you spend in the way of Allah, in obedience to Allah, whether it is something that you love or something that you don't love, whether it is something very little or something that is a lot in its quantity, whether it is something very precious and valuable or it is not something precious or valuable, anything that you spend, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Shayin is nakira, anything at all, whether you love it or you don't love it, whether it's a lot or it's a little bit, whether it's very precious, very valuable or not, anything that you spend, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Then indeed Allah is knowing of it. Allah knows about what you've spent. And if Allah knows about it, He's not going to let it go waste. He is going to give you the reward for your spending depending on how much struggle you've gone through in spending. Because the more a person loves something, the more difficult it is for him to spend that. And Allah knows not just what we have spent, but the struggle that we have gone through in spending what we have spent, in giving away what we have given away. So فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is knowing of it. What does it mean by this? That He will reward you accordingly. Over here we see that we are being encouraged to spend of that which we love. But it is preferable to spend of that which a person likes, that which a person loves. But sometimes a person also spends of that which he doesn't love that much. Something that a person doesn't like that much, it's not useful for him, so he says, why should I keep it? Let me give it to somebody else who likes it more. Now, doesn't mean that a person should not spend that which he does not like. No. The first part of the ayah tells us that we should spend that which we love. The second part of the ayah tells us, even if you don't love it, and you spend it in the way of Allah, with sincerity, then you will get reward for it. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. And this encouragement to spend that which we love in order to attain bid, this is not something that was only for the Sahaba. This is not something that was only for the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. But it also applies to us. We are also encouraged to spend in the way of Allah that which we love most. Why is it that we cannot attain bid until we spend that which we love? Why? Is there a connection between reaching bid or attaining reward and spending that which we love? Because we have to love Allah more than anything. Our iman is complete only when we love Allah more than anyone and anything else. We learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those people who believe, they are intense in their love for Allah. And when a person claims that he loves something or that he loves someone, he has to prove his love. Isn't it? You have to prove your love to a person, to a human being, to a mission, to some work, to some hobby. You prove your love. And how do you prove your love? By spending. By sacrificing that which you love for the one that you love more. So if a person claims that he has love for Allah, or that he loves Allah most, then what does he have to do? He has to show that love. He has to prove that love. How? By giving up that which he loves for his sake. That the love for Allah is more than the love for other things. The love for Allah is much more than the love for other things. Which is why it is not difficult for him to give up other things for the sake of Allah. To the extent that even if a person has to give up his life, he is willing. He is willing to do so. For instance, if you love something, if you love cooking, if you love houses, what are you going to do? People love to have a house. People love to own their house. People love to own a car. What will they do? They will work double shift sometimes. They will even compromise on their deen. They will spend all of their life savings on what? On getting a house, on getting a car, on getting a nice goal set. Why? Because they love that thing more than they love their money. And when they spend their money, it proves that they love, that there is actually love. And it's not just lip service. It's not just superficial. It's actually love from the heart. Remember, whenever a person spends his money upon something, it shows that the person loves that particular thing. So if a person is willingly giving up a few $100 or a few $1,000 just to get a particular, you know, a bag or a book or something like that, what does it show? That he loves that bag. He loves that book. He will pay any price. Which is why when people, when they're very sick or when their life is in danger, what do? They will give up all of their life savings, all of their money. So love demands sacrifice. And love needs to be proven. And how do you prove your love? How do you prove the sincerity of your love? By giving up that which you love. And the stronger the love is for what a person spends, the more reward he gets for spending that. For instance, a woman loves her particular bag or loves her money, the mahar that her husband gave her, or the gold set that her husband gave, for example. The more love you have for something, and if you spend that in the way of Allah, even if it's very little in its quantity, even if it's very less in its value, but because you love it, therefore the reward will be more for spending that thing. So at the end of the day, again, it's not the quantity. It's the quality. What is it that you're giving? With what heart? With what feeling? With what intention? With what desire? Who is it that you love more? Is it something of this dunya, or is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And it's not always necessary that a person loves money or gold. It's possible that a person loves something else. It's something that is not monetary. It's something that is not necessarily tangible. And when a person gives that up for the sake of Allah, then he attains reward. Then he attains bir. Because if you look at it, many times there is a conflict in love. One thing that you love is pulling you towards it. Another thing that you love is pulling you towards it. So you're being pulled from different directions. Correct? And then you don't know who to listen to, who to follow. For instance, sometimes some men, they have an issue between their wives and their mothers. Their mother is pulling them towards one direction, and the wife is pulling them towards another direction. So there is love on both sides. So sometimes love creates conflict for us. And the more love we have, you know, for one thing, the more inclined we will be towards it. So for instance, if the man has more love for his mother, he will listen to his mother more. If he has more love for his wife, he will listen to his wife more. Wherever the love is, that is where a person is going to go. So we have to sacrifice that which we love for the sake of Allah. Why? So that we can be more obedient to Allah. Because sometimes it is the love of these things that take us away from Allah, that occupy us so much that we don't have time to obey Allah. We don't have time to do dhikr. We don't have time to increase in our obedience. Because the love of these things, they occupy us. They make us busy. So, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. We see that when the Sahaba, when they heard this ayah, when they learned of this verse of the Quran, each and every one of them acted upon it according to their capacity. For instance, we learn about Abu Talha, and I mentioned his story to you earlier as well in Surah Al-Baqarah. Anas ibn Malik, he said that Abu Talha had more property than any other among the Ansar in Medina. He had the most property in Medina. And the most beloved of his property to him was his garden. Which garden? Bayruha. And this garden was in front of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid. So the location was ideal. Where was it? In front of the masjid. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ used to go to the garden and drink its fresh water. So the Prophet ﷺ would actually visit that garden. He would go and enjoy himself over there. So when this ayah was revealed, Abu Talha said, O Allah's Messenger, Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. No doubt, the Bayruha garden is the most beloved of all my property to me. The Bayruha garden is the most beloved of all my property to me. Why was it most beloved to him? Because it was valuable. Similarly, the location, it was close to the masjid. Similarly, there was water in it. The Prophet ﷺ also used to visit it. So, a person doesn't just love something only because of its value. There could be different reasons as to why a person has more love for something. So he said that this garden is the most beloved property of mine to me. I want to give it in charity in Allah's cause, and I expect its reward and compensation from Allah. The most valuable thing to him, the most beloved property that he had, that he owned, he gave it for the sake of Allah. Why? Because you can never attain bir until you give up that which you love for the sake of Allah. And he said that, O Allah's Messenger, spend it where Allah makes you think is feasible. Meaning spend it wherever you find is best. On that, the Prophet ﷺ said, well done, it is profitable property. It is profitable property. I have heard what you have said, and I think it would be better, it would be proper, if you gave it to your kith and kin. He said it would be better if you give it to who? To your relatives. When we think of spending in the way of Allah, we think of building a masjid. What does the ayah say? لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. So حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا, you spend, meaning you give away. You give away. Who are you giving it to? Where? In obedience to Allah. And as we have learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, it can go to walidain, it can go to aqrabin, it can go to the yateem, it can go to the travelers, it can go to fi sabilillah, different places. Over here the Prophet ﷺ told him that you give it to who? To your relatives. Abu Talha said, I will do so, O Allah's Messenger. And then he distributed it among his relatives and cousins. Who would do this? Who would do such a thing? The most valuable property, the most beloved property, he's giving it away to his relatives. Not the poor, the relatives. Who would do this? The one who has love for Allah. The one whose love for Allah is more than the love of his property. The one whose love for Allah is more than the love for his property. And the person who has conviction that what I am giving to Allah, what I am giving for the sake of Allah, Allah will return it to me. Allah will give it to me. Because when you spend something in the way of Allah, what are you doing actually? You're depositing it for yourself in the akhirah. We learn about Abdullah ibn Umar, إِذَا أَعْجَبَهُ شَيْءٌ مِّن مَالِهِ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ. Whenever he liked something from his wealth, whenever he started liking something from his possessions, he would give it away in charity. He would give it away in charity. Why? Why do you think so? So that he can have it in the akhirah. When we love something, what do? We keep it in the lockbox. We go put it in the locker. We don't use it ourselves. Think about it. Sometimes people have a lot of gold jewelry. They will not wear it. They will keep it in the locker. And only when there is a wedding, they will go bring that gold set. They will wear it for a few hours, complain about their ears hurting, and that gold set being very heavy. And sometimes it's not even visible. People don't even notice it. And how many times do people actually get to wear it? A few times? Twice a year? Once a year? And I bet you, even if you wore something fake, people won't be able to tell. Many people can't tell, especially with the lighting these days. So when we love something, we hide it, we store it, we deprive ourselves from using it, and eventually it goes to our relatives anyway. It goes to our heirs anyway. So we deprive ourselves from using it, and eventually it goes away to the people whom we were saving it from. But what was the way of the Sahaba? The person whose focus is the akhirah, when he loves something, he stores it for his akhirah. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he loved something of his, he would give it away so that he would get it in the akhirah. He would get it back in the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Who among you considers the wealth of his heirs dearer to him than his own wealth? Who likes the wealth of his relatives, the wealth of his heirs, more than his own wealth?" They replied, "O Allah's Messenger, there is none among us but loves his own wealth more," meaning all of us love our own things more. We don't love the things of our relatives, which is why we take care of our things more and better. And when we have to deal with the things of other people, we don't really take care of them as much. For instance, if you have a nice sofa in your house, a very expensive one, you will take very good care of it. And when you go to your relatives, when you go to your friends, the same sofa, you don't care about if there's food falling on it or how you're sitting on it. Or we don't do that. Why? Because we love our things more. So the Sahaba said that, "O Allah's Messenger, there is none among us but loves his own wealth more." The Prophet ﷺ said, "So his wealth is whatever he spends in Allah's way during his life, while the wealth of his heirs is whatever he leaves after his death." The wealth that actually belongs to you is which one? The one that you have deposited for the akhirah. And the one that you save, the one that you keep in this dunya, it does not remain with you. It goes to who? To your heirs. So this means that if we become stingy about what we love, and if we don't spend it, then indeed we're going to leave it soon. Or indeed that thing is going to leave us very soon. It's going to become someone else's anyway. But if we give it away ourselves, if we give it away ourselves in this dunya, then we're actually depositing it for akhirah. We're actually, you know, making it eternal for ourselves. In this dunya, we keep our things, we save our things, we keep them safe and secure. Why? So that we can have them for longer. We get guarantees and, you know, so many things so that we can have these things for longer. But the fact is that when a person spends that thing in the way of Allah, then he will have that thing for longer. He will have that thing for eternity. We also learn about other companions of the Prophet ﷺ. For instance, Abdullah ibn Umar. We learned that when he read this ayah, he said, "I don't find anything more beloved to me than my so-and-so slave woman. She was the most beloved property that he owned." And what did he do? He freed her for the sake of Allah. And then he used to say that if it was permissible that you could take back what you had given, I would take her back. This is how much he loved her. حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The love of shahawat first is woman. He loved that slave woman. And he used to say that if it was allowed, if it was permissible, I would take her back. But because it's not permissible, that's why I'm not going to take her back. So, at the end of the day, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves most? What sadaqah is it that he loves most? Not the one that is most valuable in its price tag, but rather the one that is most beloved to us. Because when we give up that which is most beloved to us, then we're saying that, "Oh Allah, I love you more than this thing. I love you more than this worldly thing. I love you more than this money. I love you more than this gold. I love you more than this house." And this is with regards to sadaqah, and sometimes it also happens in the situation of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or refraining from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we love what we're doing. We love what we're doing. Or we don't want to obey Allah. Why? Because we don't want to part from that which we love. But if we give up something for the sake of Allah, no matter how much we love it, what does that show? That, "Oh Allah, I love you more than this action. I love you more than this house. I love you more than this money. I love you more than this laptop of mine, than this friend of mine." And sometimes it's not just about spending, it's about giving it up. It's about giving it away. For instance, for some people, it is giving up hours and hours online, so that they can spend more time with their Lord. Remember in the story of Imra'atu Imran, we learned that because we are so busy talking to other people, we don't have time to talk to Allah. Zakariya alayhi salam, what happened? He was not able to speak for 3 days. And what was he told? Wadhkur rabbaka kathiran. We're not able to do dhikr. Why? Because we're busy talking to people all the time. Why? Because we love them. When we give them up for Allah's sake, when we reduce from that side, only then we can spend more time obeying Allah. Only then we can spend more time loving Allah. Because remember, we only have one heart. No human being has been given two hearts. No human being has been given two hearts. Either we can have the love of other things, or we can have the love of Allah. And we know that the one whom we love is the one whom we obey, is the one whom we follow, is the one whom we spend more time with, is the one whom we think about. So either it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something else. And it doesn't mean that you have to leave everything. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be given the highest priority, the most priority. Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ.
If we look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did he give up? His family, his country. He left his wife and his son in the middle of the desert. Why? To please Allah. To prove his love for Allah. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ. When can you submit to Allah? When you love Allah most. When other things are not distracting you. When other things are not occupying you. Because either you can obey Allah or you can obey something else. Both cannot go together. Because many times there are conflicts. So either you can do this or you can do that. The more love you will have for the one whom you love, the more you will obey them. Sometimes again, it's not just money that people love. Sometimes it's a person's children. Sometimes it's the love of your own house. But if you just spend all the time with your children, loving your children, watching your children, feeding your children, cleaning your house, that's important. I'm not saying don't do that. Okay, never misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is, if you spend all of your time only doing that, then obviously you will not have time to serve the deen of Allah, to learn the deen of Allah. But if you spend mimma tuhibbun, a little bit, some of it, then what's going to happen? Then you will be able to do birr. Then you will be able to obey Allah. Then you will be able to do different types of good deeds. But if you're lost in your love for a human being, if you're lost in your love for your house, in the love of your computer, in the love of your Facebook, what's going to happen? All day, all night, that's what you're going to think about. Not about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not about doing good deeds. In the previous verses, we learned that if a person in the hereafter were to offer the earth full of gold in order to ransom himself, it's not going to be acceptable. He will not be freed. But in this dunya, people love gold. If you give a little bit, even that's going to benefit you. In the akhirah, it's not going to benefit you. Sometimes it's a person's sleep that he loves. You know how when the alarm is going on, you're thinking, I love my bed. Huh? It's so nice and warm. It's so comfortable. But at the same time, during the day you say, I love Allah. So prove your love at that time by giving up that which you love for the love of Allah, for the sake of Allah. And when you do that, then you will attain birr. Then you will be able to do that which is righteous, that which is very good. Then you will be able to pray. And if you keep delaying, then okay, you'll get time only to pray 2 rak'ah and no dhikr, no sunnah. So you'll be deprived of birr. And when you give up that which you love, then you get the tawfiq to do birr. People always think about, you know, people who are very smart when it comes to spending, when it comes to managing money. when it comes to dealing with their business, when it comes to investing their money. But we learned this manner from Abdullah ibn Umar, that he was indeed very smart when it came to spending money. That anything that he loved, anything that he liked, he would spend it in the way of Allah so that he would have it forever. Similarly, the wife of Imran, Maryam alayhi salam's mother, we don't know of the wealth that she owned. But the most precious thing to a mother is what? Her child. And especially when the woman is expecting the child, because all the time she's thinking about the child, she's wondering, you know, is it going to be a boy or a girl? Is it going to do this or is it going to do that? I wonder. So the most precious thing to her was, the most precious possession was her child. And she dedicated her child for the sake of Allah. And because of that, look at the bir, that the entire family was chosen. The entire al was chosen. So when a person spends that for the sake of Allah, something that he loves, then what happens? He attains bir, meaning he gets the ability, he gets the opportunity to obey Allah, to do bir, to do different types of good deeds, and then he also gets the reward for bir. This ayah shows to us that we have to maintain balance in what? In looking at how much time, how much effort, how much money we are spending for the sake of Allah, and how much we are spending on other things. Many times we focus on just cooking and cleaning and doing my homework and going here and going there. My weekends are only for having fun, not studying. And we don't consider the time that we're actually spending for the sake of Allah. Similarly, with all of the social media, you have your phone, you check this, you go home, you turn the computer on, you check another thing, you follow another person, you follow another person, you post here, you post there, and then you're thinking about what that person said and what that person said. Even if you're praying, what are you thinking about? Even when you're reading Quran, what are you thinking about? Even in your classroom, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Other people. What to post, what to say, what they said, what was their comment. So when we love these things so much, what happens? They occupy us. They indulge us. We are so engrossed in them that we don't have time left for the deen of Allah. Even when we're praying, we're not praying with our heart. Even when we read the Quran, we're not reading with our heart. So again, it's the matter of hub, it's the matter of love. Wherever your love is, that is where you will go. We fool ourselves thinking that it's very important, it's necessary. If it's something good, if it's something beneficial, okay. But even that, within limits. You know, sometimes some people, if they watch a movie, that movie revolves in their head for weeks and weeks and weeks. Huh? Why? Because something that you spent 2 hours with, it's not going to leave you for a while. And even when you're praying, that's what you're thinking about. Again, it's the matter of hub. If it's more love for Allah, and you know that this movie is going to distract me for the next 50 prayers of mine, I'm going to stay away from it. It's the matter of hub. Whatever you love more, that is where you're going to go towards. That is what you're going to strive towards. So if you love Allah, give up that which you love to prove your love for Allah. Sometimes, for some people, what they love is their comfort zone, what they're comfortable with, what they're satisfied with. And they have to give that up in order to do bir, in order to do different types of good deeds. Because as long as you remain in the box and your choices, your opportunities are limited, the moment you step out, then the doors open for you. So here we also learn that if you want to do bir, if you want to increase in your obedience to Allah, if you want to do something and you find yourself not being able to do so, what is it that Allah is teaching us over here? Spend that which you love, then you will reach bir. Maybe it's the love of something that is stopping you. And we see that the Sahaba, they did amal upon this ayah immediately, especially Abu Talha. What did he do? Immediately he said, this is the best garden. This is the most precious garden. This is the garden that I love most. And he gave it up for the sake of Allah. So we also have to see, what is it that I love most? Think about it. Think about it. Everybody. Think about what you love most and think about how you can spend it for the sake of Allah. Sometimes it's the love of these things, and sometimes it's shaitan, sometimes it's other people who stop us from spending that which we love for the sake of Allah. We see that those people who love Allah don't delay obeying Allah, don't delay doing something that would please Allah. So over here, we learn a very beautiful thing, that if you want to prove your love to Allah, if you want to reach bir, then spend that which you love and don't delay doing amal. If you look at it, ilm and amal, even in letters, what's the difference? The huruf are not different, only the arrangement is different. Ilm, amal. Ilm, amal. Do it right away. Don't delay. As soon as you learn, do it. Because if you don't, then it becomes a burden. Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ
لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ
لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا